This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Knight.
And this is Playing with Science. And today I think we shall all head for the slope. So wrap up warm, grab a hat, and don't forget your gloves because the forecast is for snow. And by the time we hit the top, it will be all down here.
Yeah, it's the turn of snowboarding to get the PWS treatment. And for that, we've got the band back together. And not for just science, but for the pros' eyes view from the top of the mountain.
So it'd be welcome back to Dr. Skateboard, a.k.a. Professor Bill Robertson, and former pro snowboarder and regular of the smash hit Soap, The Bold and the Beautiful, Mr. Othello Clark. No, not just you and I, Chuck.
I was going to say, I thought Othello. We were The Bold and the Beautiful.
Othello. So, yeah. Chuck, you skateboard.
I was going to say, let's clear that up.
All right, past tense. So, snowboard?
Do you get never involved? Did a snow, never, no, never snowboarded. And the reason is I don't like snow. So that puts me at a very distinct disadvantage for skiing and snowboarding. Even though I probably would enjoy snowboarding and maybe even skiing, but I have to tell you that I just don't like snow. Even as a kid, I didn't like snow.
Wow.
Except for I made money off of it. I had a snow removal service from the time I was 11 to the time I was 14, and I made a crap load of money. So when
you get like Homer Simpson, one of those jackets with Mr. Plow.
Oh, Mr. Plow, that's the name. That name again is Mr. Plow, a.k.a. Chuck.
As long as you get to a Simpsons reference, you can't
everything.
All right, enough of that. Dr. Skateboard, Professor Bill Robertson. Hi, Bill. How are you, sir?
Hey, Gary. Hey, Chuck. Good to be on the show again.
Yeah, you are more than welcome.
So great to have you back.
All right. Let's just clear this up. Difference between skateboarding and surfing and snowboarding, and is snowboarding somewhere between the two, or is it just completely unique?
And on top of that, do you do either snowboarding or surfing?
So my background as a kid, you know, I grew up not too far from the beach. So I first started surfing and water skiing as a kid before I got into skateboarding. So that was kind of my first background into that. And then I started snowboarding in the mid 80s in Flagstaff, Arizona. And so I did figure out the differences between the three quickly.
Is it quite simply take the wheels off the skateboard and head downhill, or is there a lot more going on?
Yeah, there's a lot more going on. In some ways, the main difference, I would say, is that, of course, you're strapped into a snowboard and you can freely jump off of a skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other sense, what you're going to land into primarily in snowboarding is something softer than concrete. But I think the big thing is a lot of times with skateboarding, the general way you're moving is you're sort of directing it with your front foot, whether you're regular foot or goofy foot. You're sort of pointing your front foot or moving the front truck to get to where you're going, and then, you know, moving off the back one. But you're directing with almost with your front foot. In snowboarding, you actually do the opposite. You direct more with your back foot. So because you're going downhill the whole time, your back foot and the edge of the board acts like a rudder, if you think about it, on a boat or something like that, where you're driving that in. So you really drive almost snowboarding with your back foot in some ways, and you direct it with your back foot, where in skateboarding you direct it with your front foot.
If I were on a skateboard, which will not happen, just in case you're thinking that'd be a great idea, your center of gravity is fluctuating to do the tricks or to do all the sort of maneuvers. And as you said before, you've got freedom away from the board. Now you are tethered, if you like, to the snowboard. How are you adjusting that center of gravity to make it work for you?
Yeah. So since you're locked into your stance, you're really having to drive your knees together. That's one of the things you do in snowboarding a lot is you kind of pinch your knees together, which you don't always do in skateboarding to keep that center straight. The other thing is you're going to lift that as I mentioned, the back foot. So I'm a regular foot. That would be my right foot. And I'll throw that back foot out, you know, far away from my body, if you will, and counter it with my upper body to the right or to the left to try to make turns. And so that part of keeping your center of gravity, you got to keep it over the middle of your board. But sometimes it's easier if you can pinch your knees in some ways together. That will help you lock that that center right over your board.
When you're turning, if I'm turning to my right, and if I'm not mistaken, I've seen guys, they lean right into the turn. And they're at, I don't know, almost like a 45-degree angle. That to me just sounds wrong. Normally I'd be leaning away from this issue, but it's not. So can you explain the physics of why when you start to carve and you lean into that turn?
Yeah. So, well, you got to think about it first. You're going downhill. So, you know, leaning back would be a really bad thing. In some ways, it's not super bad because it'll just slow you down. But when you're going into a turn, you dig that edge of the snowboard in by driving your toe side into the mountain and so into the snow. And so you're in a sense riding on the steel edge of your snowboard and lifting, if you will, the contact from the bottom. So at some point you're riding as much on the steel edge as you can to go as fast as you can through a turn. And that's where you'll see people sort of, you know, turn and dip and get closer. And you know, that was the old phrase you use for snowboarders is when they were turning, they were, you know, their hands were getting so close to the ground. People, you know, skiers affectionately called us knuckle draggers, you know.
It wasn't for the way you made your turns. Skiers hate snowboarders.
Yeah, I know. We look at the mountain completely different, you know.
True.
But the big thing here was that you are kind of, you know, counterbalancing. You're throwing your weight and leaning on your toe side, let's say, to make a turn, and then you're counterbalancing with your arms out in front of you. So you are leaning into it, and you're going downhill the whole time. So that's a part of how you're managing your speed.
We started off, Gary asked you this question about the difference between the three. We never really got to that from a physics standpoint. You're looking at traveling on three different mediums, two of which are the same, just in different physical forms, and then the other being concrete. But what is the physics of the mediums upon which you're traveling for the three different sports?
Yeah, so start with surfing. I mean, and you have a medium that's never the same, right? So it's always changing. You're always adjusting. That's sort of the beauty of it. You know, you're trying to lock into something that is, if you will, alive all around you. So the physics are you've got something that's in, you know, chaos, right? It's changing all the time. And you've got to manage yourself with micro adjustments or find that flow within that changing medium. For a skateboarder, I think, you know, you can really count on the concrete. Once you understand what you're riding on and sort of the hardness or whatever the slickness of it, you can sort of count on what you're going to do and how that's going to behave. So you can it's a much more predictable in terms of how you're going to adjust. So you probably have to make less small adjustments and can be more predictive in what you're going to do. And in snowboarding is probably a little bit of both, you know. I mean, in some ways the mountain stays the same and, you know, but the depth of the snow and the conditions of the snow can change. So if you go from, say, powder to ice, you know, things can change pretty quick. So you have to be a little nimble on that. So I think in terms of the mediums, surfing being the most organic, snowboarding probably being the one that has the next amount of change, and then skateboarding being much more predictive. And then consequently, you have probably less minor adjustments you have to make as you're moving through those sports.
That's interesting because we're talking here about an environmental awareness. So if you go onto the water, it's not just the water surface and the changeability therein with currents, etc. You've got wind.
Right.
Yeah. You've got every sort of atmosphere around you. Similar with snow, similar with skateboarding, that you have to know your environment really well and intuitively before you actually get into all the rest of the enjoyment of that sport.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, and when I started snowboarding, I had never snowboarded or been on the mountain at all. And my friends told me all about it. And we drove to the mountain and rode up in the chairlift, and they dropped me off at the top and said, "See you at the bottom," kind of thing. And I had to figure it out. But what I figured out for myself was that, you know, really snowboarding has elements of of surfing and skateboarding completely. And so when you're driving on the mountain and you're carving, you know, in many ways it is a lot like surfing. You're trying to drive that edge of the board and use the turns and stay over your board. When you're in the air, it's completely skateboarding because all your grabs are named after skateboarding grabs. So your mute, your indie, your front side, your backside.
That's right.
And I was very comfortable when that would happen. And then when you land, it's unique. And so that was always the challenge, is because suddenly you're actually landing on something that, you know, has a, is can be soft or hard. And then you're in a sense going downhill. So you have to learn to react quickly, either by driving your edge in front side or backside to gain a turn. So in some ways, you know, having started as a surfer, it helped me. Being on the mountain as a skateboarder, it helped me in the air. But when I landed, the only thing that helped me was practice on my snowboard.
Nice. Nice.
All right. Stay with us, please. We're going to take a break. So Professor Bill Robertson will be with us when we come back, a.k.a. Dr. Skateboard. Also, further forward in the show, we have Othello Clark. Yes, that man from Bold and the Beautiful. He'll be on the show too. So if you like snowboarding, this is a place to be. We will be back very, very shortly.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science. And today we're exploring the science behind snowboarding. Shoo, and yes. Shoo.
Do you like that? That's my carving. That's me carving a mountain right there.
And that's from doesn't like snow.
That's right. Like a Thanksgiving Day turkey.
As with skateboarding, it started with let's go to the top of the hill and get to the bottom of the hill and we do a bit of slalom and everything else. But the tricks came in. How did you get involved in the trick side of things when you started to snowboard?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the fun thing about snowboarding and being kind of in your bindings the whole time is you didn't really have to worry about, you know, your board getting away from you. So if you got in the air and could, you know, control yourself and control your center of gravity and then deal with the lack of friction when you hit the ground, you could do a lot of things. And really for me, that's where my skateboarding background came into play, because like I said, when you got in the air, you know, you could do all sorts of grabs, maybe that were much easier than doing them on your skateboard because your feet were stuck on the board. And then doing things forwards and backwards, or for me going, you know, regular foot to goofy foot was a lot of fun. So you could hit a bump, you know, style 180 in the air, land goofy foot, go, and then hit another bump and come out and do that all the way down the mountain. So yeah, snowboarding and the tricks were a big draw for me in doing the sport.
How did you change with the fact that you can't flip and move around the board as freely as you can on a skateboard in terms of the physics that are applied therein?
Yeah, I think the main thing is, you know, you're bound to your board, even though people at times will, you know, they might unhook from their board to do a certain kind of trick. But, you know, you weren't going to be able to, say, do the things you do on a skateboard, like a shove it or a kickflip in a sense. So you were going to do things that did things rotationally. So we talked about centrifugal and centripetal force and moment of inertia. And so when you were spinning in circles was sort of the way you would do that. And so you see a lot of people doing maybe 360 airs. You saw, you know, 540s, 720s. I mean, people like Sean White, who could do 1080s, you know, that's incredible. But that was another way you would do that. And then you also learned they could do things like flips, where, you know, they could spin the 360 rotation, you know, throughout. So I think that was a big part of, you know, being able to manage the forces of centrifugal, centripetal, and then keeping your arms either in or out to manage your moment of inertia and to control the rate at which you spin. That's a big deal in snowboarding.
So they have these great big air videos. I mean, they're just gorgeously shot, where there are two types that I've seen, though. So one, the half pipe itself is built on the mountain,
right?
And the half pipe itself, and you see this in the Olympics as well, is going downhill. Mm-hmm. So the half pipe is utilizing gravity. So the half pipe becomes the gravity. Right. But then I've seen these other videos where there's guys doing big air tricks, and it's like a regular skateboard half pipe. And they kind of get their speed up going downhill, then they go into the pipe, and then they stay in the pipe going back and forth. What is the difference from a physics standpoint of the stationary, I won't call it stationary because they're all stationary, of the half pipe that is level and the half pipe that uses gravity? And how do you lose energy every single time you go back and forth in the one that is level?
So I'll start with the first one, the half pipe that's at a slant where you're going downhill or something like that. You know, so you're using the gravity pulling you down the hill. It's at an angle. It's much easier for you to maintain speed or even to accelerate as you're going down. And if you watch riders, you know, they'll try to go cleanly on the walls. But the other thing is, if they're going too slow, they have to point themselves straight down to get up some speed again. So I would think those kinds of half pipes, which were very traditional, you build it into a hill and you ride down the hill, you hit, you know, five times on each side, and then that's your run. On these other kinds of ones where they're more flat, like you would on a skateboard half pipe, you're going to have to be much more efficient with your transfer of energy. So you're not going to be able to be, if you will, sloppy in how you pump the transition as you come down and then as you pump the transition up, because that's going to be all your momentum. So I would think that, you know, riding downhill in a half pipe much more rider friendly. And the other side is, you're just losing so much energy each time because you're trying to, you know, generate so much power as you're going up the wall. So, I think moving side to side on a snowboard would be very difficult if it was flat versus going downhill.
Would it be possible to get a pump in a level half pipe on a snowboard where you could indefinitely maintain the back and forth? So coming out of the pipe, making your turn, okay, 180, coming back into the pipe, pump at the bottom, coming out of the pipe. Would it be possible, or do the laws of physics say, no, you're only going to get so many out of that?
Well, I think that's the beauty of science, right? You would say, you know, hey, is it possible? Let's give it a try and test a hypothesis. But my own personal opinion would be that would be extremely difficult to manage and to keep up, because, you know, you're tending to lose so much energy, you know, through the medium. And if it's flat, you know, you can't really pump it in the way that you do on a skateboard with your snowboard, because you have these edges that are driving in that'll slow you down as well. So I would think that, you know, if you watch a guy on a skateboard who can pump and go back and forth, I would think that that's much more efficient, because you can, again, the medium, you can kind of count on it. It stays the same. And whereas the medium on the snow, you know, it changes and your edge will change and your body position will change. I think if they could make a medium that would, you know, take you wouldn't lose energy on transfer from your snowboard, that it might be more efficient, but it might be really difficult to do that.
Would you need a specific type of snow? Would it be more ice and therefore harder? Or is it something as simple as that with the natural condition?
Oh, that's a good question. And even outside of that, what's better, ice or powder?
Yeah. Well, you know, in my mind, you know, when you're riding on a snowboard, you know, ice can be a very difficult thing to deal with because not only is it, you know, something that, you know, you think you could go faster and all this, but the ruts that get into ice can cause you to lose an edge. And when you lose your edge, you know, gravity takes over and you slam, and you can slam right to your knees into your face, or you can go the other way and kind of land on your backside, which is equally painful. So, so ice sometimes I think is, while you might think because it has less friction, would be a more ideal way. And half pipes, they have this sort of, you know, they get sort of a happy medium, I think, sometimes. They don't want too much fresh snow. They want it to be kind of slick, but they don't want to be too grooved. For snowboarders, though, I think people like myself, you know, if you're not riding in a half pipe, the whole attraction is in the powder. And so free riding and working through the trees and things like that is more akin to, you know, powder riding, which I think in some ways may be less visually appealing to the general audience, but more appealing, I think, to traditional snowboarders.
It's interesting. Yeah, go on.
I'm still holding my face, man, when he said you go to your knees and you slam your... Yeah. I'm like, not the face, man, please.
Yeah. God. All of a sudden, your face became the brake.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, God, this is the moneymaker, baby.
So it's interesting, Bill, because you're saying that you're one of the few sports that I think I can encounter that actually incorporates friction as part of the whole sport itself, rather than saying we hate friction because it slows us down. You're saying we're embracing friction because we need it to do the things that we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, we talked about that in the sense of, you know, when you're managing the forces of thrust, you know, or your momentum with friction or drag, you know, that's how you gain speed. And by having an unbalanced force in that general direction is how you go fast. And so in some ways, yeah, you'll see people, you know, you want a sharp edge, you want a slick bottom, and you want it to be as high a level of lack of friction, if you will. So there's less friction when you're working on your snowboard, and then you are managing it between sort of driving that edge, either, you know, pointing the edge into the mountain or turning your board and using the other edge to slow yourself down. So yeah, you're right, I guess, you know, moving between moments of high friction and low friction is how you manage yourself. So you have to really embrace friction to be successful at snowboarding.
Is there a certain board design that allows you to do that? Or is it just basically get the nearest baking tray, take it to the top of the mountain, and head south?
Yeah. No, I think they're generally, you know, the snowboard industry and the designs are quite elaborate, you know, but the basic, I think, idea is that, you know, you want something, it depends on the type of riding you're doing, but generally, let's say someone like myself, you know, who wants to be a center stance, that means I'm in the middle of my board, so I can ride equally forwards and backwards. I'm going to have a board about the length of, you know, 160 centimeters or less, with a contact edge throughout that allows me to do turns and things like that. So in some ways, if skateboards are kind of this general popsicle shape that they call it, snowboards have that general kind of way too. Now, people who want to go fast, you know, just like in skateboarding, they're going to, you know, make a different design that's going to lock themselves in, maybe spread, be longer so that they can go faster. But for the general snowboard enthusiast who's riding maybe a center stance, they're going to ride something that is, you know, kind of clipped at both ends or looks like a big skateboard with a long contact edge.
Well, all I know is this, from this point forward, I am never going to look at snowboarding the same until I see Shaun White in a half pipe on a bacon sheet. So,
Bill, you're probably familiar with the fact that Chuck likes to reinvent every single sport we bring into the show.
Every sport we bring to this show, yeah. I try to find a way to make it more interesting. And Gary just gave me the greatest idea for the Olympics ever. It's just one event within, kind of like the same way we have the decathlon. Yeah. We have our half pipe. We have our downhill. We have our slalom. We have the moguls. And now bacon sheet. Damn right.
Absolutely. Little shake and bake on the mountain. Dr. Skateboard, he's going to stay with us, but we are going to talk to our old friend Othello Clark, former professional skateboarder and snowboarder turned actor. Playing with Science is back with more snowboarding. Don't go away. Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm still Chuck Nice.
And this is still Playing with Science. And this is a special treat, not just for Chuck and I, but hopefully for you.
Yeah.
We have both Othello Clark, former professional snowboarder and actor from The Bold and the Beautiful, and of course, Dr. Skateboard. We've just been chatting before this section, and the two guys realize how much they've got in common. So, Othello, welcome back. Bill, glad you didn't go away.
Thanks so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Since you both do each sport, and Othello, we may have touched on this before, but I'm going to give you guys the Sophie's Choice.
Ooh.
As of today, you can no longer do both. You have to choose one. You can either snowboard or skateboard, and that's it. I'm an evil witch in a Disney film casting a spell upon you. And if you step on either the snowboard or the skateboard after you make the choice, you disappear forever.
Have you been binging on the Disney Channel again?
I love the Disney Channel. I love the Disney Channel. What can I say? All right. So which one? Here's your Sophie's Choice. What do you choose, guys? Who wants to go first?
Ooh.
Dr. Skateboard, why don't you go first?
Yep. Okay.
All right. I'll go first. I'm happy to. So thank you, Othello. So great question. Easy one for me to answer. So I'm a skateboarder. You know, I'm going to continue to skateboard. I'm going to choose skateboarding. I enjoy snowboarding. You know, I lived in Colorado for a while. I lived in northern New Mexico. I live in the desert now. So skateboarding is a big part of it. But skateboarding is something I started when I was 13 years old, and it's been sort of a lifeline for me throughout. It's how I see the world. It's pretty much, you know, I look at things around the world as a skateboarder. And so if I had to make a choice, I would always choose skateboarding, and I continue to do so.
Ooh, very definitive. Quite that's decisive.
That's a commitment.
Othello, your turn to play the game, my friend.
Well, you know, I think I'm going to have to agree with Dr. Dave. That's my chiropractor. Dr. Skateboard.
You can agree with Dr. Dave if you want.
Let me tell you something.
You'd have loved that plug right there.
As a professional snowboarder and skateboarder, I can understand why your chiropractor is top of mind.
Yeah. Oh, he's always there. I drive past his office every day. Hey, Dr. Dave. I probably agree with Dr. Skateboard. I'm a skateboarder for life.
Oh, my God. He's got the tattoo right there.
Oh, man.
So skateboarding, to me, everything that I've started stemmed from skateboarding. My whole life is from skateboarding. Everything, all the opportunities that have come my way have been from skateboarding has brought me. You know what I mean? My snowboarding, I learned from skateboarding. TV shows I'm on, skateboarding brought me there. My son now skateboards. That's all I think about. So pretty much skateboarding. Don't get me wrong. I love snowboarding. But at the end of the day, when you think of snowboarding and skateboarding, is what everything stems from. And at the same time, skateboarding, you don't need a mountain. You don't need $500 snowboard, $1,000 outfit, $150 ski pass. You don't need any of that with skateboard. You just need your board and wheels and some concrete anywhere. So to me, I think it'd be skateboarding 100%.
First love, true love.
First love, true love. There you go. Okay, I want to play a little game right now.
Another one.
Since this is a show where we marry sports and science, don't worry, guys, I'm not going to marry you guys. Okay, even though, thank God, we live in a country where that can now happen. Let me just say this. I have the sports in Othello. I have the science in you, Dr. Bill. And so what I want Othello, you to do is give us your favorite snowboarding trick, whether it's one you can do or not, your favorite snowboarding trick. And then, Doc, I want you to break down the physics behind that trick. All right? Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. Othello, what's your favorite trick?
Right now, my favorite trick is probably a switch backside underflip.
Holy crap. So go ahead and explain that, please, because I know what it is. I'm just saying.
I'll tell the truth. I haven't a clue, but I'm going to learn by before the end of this show. So go on, Dr. Bill.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Othello, explain the trick first, and then Dr. Bill, explain the physics.
A switch backside underflip is I come up to the last jump in the park, the money booter, which the money booter is where you win the money at in a big contest. So it's called money booter.
Yeah, it's something, I gotta tell you something. It's something else in the adult films that I watch. But go ahead.
So I go up to that last jump, you know, coming in pretty hot. And then right about 20 yards before the jump, I jump switch, which switch means backwards.
All right.
And then I go into the jump backwards going full speed. And then I do a under flip, which is a front flip, but under. So instead of instead of going forward and doing the flip, I'm going backwards. So I'm doing the flip still, but I'm doing it backwards. So it's under. And
then
in the air, I do a 180 and I turn back and I land forward.
Wow.
All righty. All yours, Dr. Bill.
So real quick, I wanted to ask Othello, are you regular foot or goofy foot going in?
Going in after I hit switch, I go in regular, but I am goofy, but I ride. Most of my tricks are done switch because regular is kind of too easy now. I try to challenge myself with everything backwards now.
Okay.
Wow.
Awesome.
Little humble brag going on right there.
Hey, it is what it is.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, you know, goofy is a little too easy, so, you know.
Yeah. I think that echoes also a progression that goes on in skateboarding where you're really trying to master that you can go in both directions. So I can applaud Othello for taking that approach in his snowboarding.
Yeah.
So when he talks about it, he's goofy foot. He's riding down the mountain. He said he was going really fast. So he's pointing himself straight down, lowering himself, getting as much speed as he can. And then he says he's about 20 yards away from the jump. He does a hop. He does a 180. So he switches to a regular stance. So he's got to maintain a speed while he's making that transition, keeping that center of gravity right over the board so he doesn't hit his edge or wobble his board so he can go right into the money booter, as he called it. So he rides into the money booter, and then as he hits the lip, you know, he's lifting off of that. So he's using the lift. He's going to deal with gravity, which is going to pull on him. And as he's flipping, you know, that's when we talked about the spinning. So he's managing those forces, that centripetal force, which is, you know, pushing in on him, and that centrifugal force, which wants to flee out, by probably adjusting his arms to hold his moment of inertia intact, that he can go through it. And then as he comes out of the spin, he's again switching a 180. So he's using both sort of a rotational axis as well, you know, up and down, as well as one from the side. So he's making it very complex. But the big point, I bet, is if you watched him spin doing the flip and then doing the 180, you're going to see that his center of gravity is very close to his board and that he can manage that as he goes through. So if he's in a tight area with his center of gravity, you know, over his board, then he makes that trick every time.
Wow.
Hey, Othello, does that sound even better once it's broken down with the science?
Yeah, it's exactly right on. It comes to a point where you get so used to that trick, and it's so embedded in your brain and your feet and muscle memory that I feel more comfortable going upside down than I do going straight, because I can close my eyes when I'm in the air, and through experience and through doing it over and over again, I can just close my eyes and do the trick and know where to land, and then open my eyes and land the trick just because I've done it so
incredible.
Much.
Incredible. Doctor, what sort of torque is Othello getting involved with? Because he's on a multi-axis here for these two tricks, or this whole trick.
So I think the thing he hit on that's really important is, you know, he's doing all this complex physics, but the other side of it is he talks about how he's just entering into this flow, this space where he's actually able to do this. And what you see there, I think, is, you know, he's putting all this energy into this trick, but he's also, if you will, once he's in the trick, sort of conserving his energy, and making his moves quite defined and quite natural. So this is kind of an interesting thing about the science of sports, is you can break it down with all the physics you can, but in some ways, the guy or girl who's managing the physics, they find sort of a way of flow, or he termed it muscle memory as well, but I would use the term flow, where he can kind of go, he knows the feeling, and the feeling is what he's striving for rather than breaking it down through the science.
Oh, wow. Is that it? Go ahead, Othello. Go ahead.
You know, if I don't land the trick, I knew that I wasn't going to land it within the millisecond after I left the ground because it wasn't right. My body tells me, if, oh my gosh, I'm about to eat it, or I got this. Just because of the flow, you, like Dr. Skateboard was saying, it's a memory thing. And when you got that flow going, nothing can stop you.
Holy Max.
How often do you complete a whole course feeling exactly as you've just explained?
Do you ever get a perfect run?
I try to do that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole, you know, I just put my music on and I flow.
Wait a minute.
I tell people, you know, if there's something that you're skeptical about in your snowboarding or skateboarding, the only thing that you really can do is take a deep breath and flow like water.
Hey, man.
Last time.
Wait, did I just hear you say that while you're doing your run, you're actually listening to music?
Oh yeah, I really can't ride without it.
Dude, you know? That's awesome.
It helps for that flow. So now I'm in a zone and I forget about the mechanics of everything that I'm doing. I'm letting my body take over because I'm in that flow. And if there's a good jam on, you can expect some big banger tricks for sure.
Yo, that's hot. That is hot.
What works
Guess
best?
What? Our
what
flow
works
has
best in the cans for
end.
You, Othello? What works best?
Oh, what's your favorite song?
What works best in the cans for you to get your flow?
Oh man. You know what? Just depends. If it's a powder day, I don't know. I like to listen to some electronic music because I'm going through it fast. If it's a sunny day and everybody's out having a blast, then more than likely I'm listening to some upbeat reggae music.
Nice.
Got that vibe going on. I don't know if you noticed, but I have dreadlocks.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, now you mention it.
That's a part of my whole life, so that's mostly what I listen to. But yeah, well, if I'm charging it,
nothing
I go
wrong with
through
that.
The whole electronic scene.
Well, get up, stand up. My man is doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And by the way, my song, when I'm going through my run, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar by Helen Reddy. Thank you.
And if it's me, it's definitely the Beatles, and it's going to be Help. Right, guys. So thank you. We put the band back together.
Yeah, man, this is great.
What a great snowboarding show. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Of course.
Dr. Snowboard, aka Professor Bill Robinson, and of course the one and only Othello Clark. What a pleasure. What an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely.
Guys, thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, that's been Playing with Science, Chuck.
Another awesome show.
Isn't it just?
Yeah, I'm about to go hit the slopes right now.
You do that, and I'll tidy up the studio. Right, that's it from our snowboarding show. Look forward to your company soon. Bye, 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 bye.